Voice Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. My friend, Dr. Harvey K, he is in the hizzy. He'll be joining us in the studio here, World Headquarters, Devil Radio. We'll talk about an economic bill of rights. Harvey K joins me very shortly, so stick around for that. Got a couple of thoughts here on Ketanji Brown Jackson. She has begun her theater-like Senate confirmation hearing. It's before the Judicial Committee. And you're going to hear two of the phoniest words you'll ever hear during Ketanji Brown Jackson's confirmation: judicial philosophy. So when you hear that, judicial philosophy, just think, this equates to BS. This doesn't really mean anything. In the words of Paul Waldman at the Washington Post, going to share some of this piece with you, our fine audience. Over the multiple days of her confirmation hearings for a seat on the Supreme Court, Ketanji Brown Jackson will have to sit attentively for hours while 22 members of the Senate Judiciary Committee speechify at her, testing both her endurance and her ability to refrain from rolling her eyes at the likes of Senator Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, ascend the heights of inane demagoguery at her expense. Amid all that pontification, there's a particular phrase you should watch out for that will likely be repeated dozens of times: judicial philosophy. The phrase should raise red flags because it's a signal that the person using it is about to pull a fast one, either to claim they themselves believe something they really don't, or to pretend that an attack they're making on Jackson is far more high-minded than it actually is. Here's a quote. Senator Ben Sasse, Republican from Nebraska: I want us to vet Judge Jackson's judicial philosophy. Of the many potential presidential aspirants who sits on the Judiciary Committee, I don't want us to attack her as a human, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell claimed. Judicial philosophy is a key qualification for the Supreme Court. While noting that there are plenty of smart lawyers out there, McConnell argued that instead of applying laws neutrally, some would rather start with liberal outcomes and reason backwards. There you have it. The idea that a judge might have a conservative outcome they want to achieve isn't even worthy of consideration. Only liberals would be so crass. Conservatives, you see, have a judicial philosophy. This is a comfortable terrain for Republicans because they know that dressing up policy preferences in a phony philosophy is a game only they usually play. Liberals tend not to bother. Jackson herself was asked about this during her confirmation to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Court. She replied, I do not have a judicial philosophy per se, other than to apply the same method of thorough analysis to every case, regardless of the parties. That's the right answer. Don't you think? Isn't that the right answer? I think she gave a very similar answer earlier today. And while liberals sometimes talk about living constitution, the idea that society evolves, our understanding of the constitution changes, they don't pretend that it's some kind of guidebook that tells you the right ruling in any given case. But that's what conservatives claim to possess in their favorite philosophy, originalism. They say that the original intent of the framers should be paramount when deciding constitutional issues. And once that intent has been located, the answer to legal questions will reveal themselves, lit from within by the glowing light of divine wisdom. See, I'm being sarcastic there. The truth is that the overwhelmingly majority of the time, the framers' intent is either impossible to discern or utterly irrelevant to the question before us, for the simple reason they wrote the Constitution almost 2.5 centuries ago. What would the framers think of a voter file purge, or regulations on carbon emissions, or the use of facial recognition by police? To even ask is preposterous. Yet conservatives claim to know what Madison and Jefferson would say. By fortuitous coincidence, their seances with the framers' spirits always lead right to their preferred policy outcomes. Funny how that works. A little bit more here. There are other variants of conservative judicial philosophy that are just as likely to demand conservative rulings. Textualism requires close readings of the Constitution and legislative texts. Unless conservatives don't like what the text says, at which point the text is discarded. They passionately oppose judicial activism and legislating from the bench until the court considers laws they don't like. The alternative to all this hogwash would be a little candor. If they just want to be honest, Republicans could just say that they oppose Jackson because they're hoping for Supreme Court rulings that will advance conservative policy goals, striking down Roe v. Wade, limiting the federal government's power to regulate, weakening voting rights, diminishing the ability of unions to organize workers, and she's unlikely to provide them. Instead, Republicans claim with straight face that they're deeply concerned that, like other liberal court nominees, she might be contaminated by policy preferences. This is after insisting the conservative nominees, about whom they are so rapturous, had no such preferences at all. The likes of Amy Coney Barrett or Brett M. Kavanaugh, they told us, are unsullied by politics, possessed only of an admirably neutral philosophy. So when you hear them invoke the words judicial philosophy, that's when you know the scam is afoot. By now, none of us should be foolish enough to fall for it. Judicial philosophy. It means BS. It means I'm about to make something up. I'm about to smear someone. In this case, Ketanji Brown Jackson. Now, Josh Hawley, he was the first one to do it. I'm not sure if we'll share the sound or just some of the cliff notes. But he started casting her as soft on child porn. And he took her completely out of context. He's been thoroughly criticized, even by the right. Just making it up, just, you know, casting false aspersions against this soon-to-be justice. I hope she's a soon-to-be justice. Anyways, it's a big day. The hearings have begun. The theater, it's afoot. And judicial philosophy is BS. So just keep that in mind as you watch the proceedings. Oh, and why I played this song. Friday, took my kid to get his driver's license. So one more scary teenager on the roads. I apologize. I'll try to keep you safe. I got the greatest of guests joining me in studio next. He's Dr. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, he's driving back to Green Bay later. Easy on the brake, heavy on the gas. Come back with Dr. Harvey K.